Tonight I want to talk about a lifestyle of thanksgiving. Have you ever wondered what God's will is for your life? Have you ever sat down and just pondered that? You know, he's written it very plainly for all of us to understand what his will is for our life. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, it says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus." What is his will for you? To give thanks in all circumstances. Father, we thank you that you delight in those who are thankful. That you, Lord, teach us to be thankful, even to be expectantly thankful. Lord, we ask that you would show us what it means to be thankful from your perspective, and that you would give us a heart of thanksgiving. So let's talk a little bit about a lifestyle of thanksgiving. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, if we look at that one passage from the Amplified Version, it says, "Thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstances may be, be thankful and give thanks. For this is the will of God for you who are in Christ Jesus, the revealer and mediator of that will." If you think you know God but do not live a life in gratitude before him, it's doubtful that you really knew him in the first place. It is impossible to know God and not be grateful at all times. It doesn't matter if you just got hit by a bus. Why do I say a bus? Because in the early, mid-1980s, a manager from France at work came in and said, "What do you do if Al Houk get under a bus?" And all of the vice presidents looked at him and said, "What do you mean under a bus? You know, run over by a bus. Oh, hit by a bus." And I said, "I give thanks." His question was because I was the only one that knew the strategies that we were implementing. My thanksgiving was that no matter what happens, I'm in his presence. No matter what happens to us, no matter what the circumstance, we have to choose whether we're going to dwell in his presence or whether we're going to let the situations and circumstances overwhelm us. See, a thankful heart always honors God. Too often when we say we know God, what we really mean is that we know a few facts about God. He's mighty, he's omnipotent. But we should ask ourselves this question: do I truly know him? See, Father wants us to be thankful children. On Christmas morning, he wants us to thank him, not just rip open another present, not just run over and see what's in the next package. And isn't that the way we really live our lives sometimes? We forget to stop and thank him for the breath he just gave us. Every time and every place, he wants his children to be thankful. See, Daddy loves his kids who have an attitude of gratitude. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, it says, "Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert with an attitude of thanksgiving." See, if I'm just throwing up dear gods and I've never thanking him, how much do you think he's going to be motivated to move once I get past the honeymoon? You know what the honeymoon is? It's the first 30 days after you receive Christ where everything seems to be great. And then all of a sudden, he starts to expect us to mature a little bit. In the New American Standard translation of the Bible, the words thank, thanks, and thanksgiving occur 160 times. Of those 110 times, the Hebrew and Greek words are translated as thanks. The first time thanksgiving is mentioned in Scripture is relative to our bringing a peace offering to the Lord. It's found in Leviticus 17:12 and reads, "If he offers it by way of thanksgiving, then along with the sacrifice of thanksgiving, he shall offer unleavened cakes mixed with oil, and unleavened wafers spread with oil, and cakes of well-stirred fine flour mixed with oil." The Hebrew word that's translated here and a total of 20 times in the Old Testament as thanksgiving is todah, T-O-D-A-H. It just happens to be a hay word. That means it's a word for this year because we're in the year of Ayin Hay. It properly means the extension of the hand, and by extension it means adoration, specifically through a choir of worshipers. It also means confession, praise, thanks, thanksgiving, or a thank offering. So when they brought their offerings, they were waving them. People get upset with me when I wave my offering before I put it in the basket. I don't care. God delights in it. I believe that there are people who dance their offerings up. Jesus saw the widow with two mites rejoicing, thanksgiving, over everything she had, she put in. See, with todah being a dalet hay word, it was last year and this year, it's overlapping both years. Specifically important for us is this 6 months that we are in right now between now and Rosh Hashanah, when Ayin Dalet and Ayin Hay overlap. This is a time that we should be thanking God for the things that he did and thanking him with expectation for the things that he's promised. Because he's doing something new around the earth. He is shifting some things. He's bringing change in mighty ways. And we can either be caught up in the change, or we can ride the wave of his presence into the change. See, when we move in an attitude of thanksgiving unto God, it opens the door to bring in the wind or the breath of his presence into our lives. Without the wind and the breath of his presence in our lives, just like with Abraham and Sarah, they were barren as Abram and Sarai until Hay, the breath of God, came in. Without the breath and promise of life, we cannot create what he destined us to create. The first time that thank is mentioned in Scripture is relative to those Levites to whom David set apart as ministers to the Lord. See, your first purpose is to minister to him. If you think it's to minister to people, then you have your priorities wrong. You've gotten caught up in religion and idolatry. Everyone is to minister to him first. We are priests and kings unto the Lord. This passage is found in 1 Chronicles 16:4. It reads of David, "He appointed some of the Levites as minister before the ark of the Lord to even celebrate and to thank and praise the God of Israel." The Hebrew word that's translated as thank here in a total of 75 times in the Old Testament as thank or thanks is yada, Y-A-D-A-H. It is also a dalet hay word. It is a literal primitive root word that means to hold out your hand, physically to throw a stone or shoot an arrow. I think last Friday, my grandson, when we were in the mountains in North Carolina picking out Christmas trees, and they had had 3 or 4 inches of snow the night before, he was practicing this yada. He was having a grand time with snowball fights, hiding behind the trees and just coming up and sneaking up behind us and popping us with snowballs. See, God likes his kids to be thankful and to throw out their hands. It especially means to revere or worship with extended hands, to praise and to give thanks. Once again, because it is a dalet hay word, it's an important time that we're in right now in these 6 months that lead up to Rosh Hashanah 5775. Now, between Rosh Hashanah and between Passover 5775. See, it's only when we worship the Lord in total surrender to his sovereign lordship with a heart of thanks that we can truly begin to minister to him. When I worship like this, or I worship like this, or I worship with anything other than surrender to him, and that doesn't mean we have to have our hands up all the time, but when I don't express to him what he tells us in his word, our acts of worship and thanksgiving, it doesn't move him to move on our behalf. See, without a heart of thanks and thanksgiving to the Lord, it's impossible to rest in the spiritual, emotional, and physical whirlwinds that swirl around us. This is a year to rest in the midst of the whirlwinds. They are increasing. I have a friend who just left Manila yesterday. You know what's happening in Manila right now? The strongest typhoon of this year is hitting there. Swirling winds all over the earth, everywhere. Places that don't normally get them are getting swirling whirlwinds. Borneo, East Malaysia, hasn't had whirlwinds at all. On Rosh Hashanah, the head of this year, the first day of the year, they had a whirlwind. They had six whirlwinds within 2 weeks. At the third one, all of the news media picked up on it and said, there is something happening, we have to pay attention. You think God's trying to get our attention? It's interesting that a word only translated once in Scripture in thanksgiving is the Hebrew word huyada, H-U-Y-D-A-H. It's also a Dalet Hay word. It's actually Hay Dalet Hay. He wants us to be moving in thanksgiving as these changes are taking place around us. It means a shout of acclamation or a choir of singers giving thanksgiving. That's what we are as an assembled congregation worshiping him. It's especially important with all of the changes that have been prophetically declared that are taking place in heaven and on earth that in these next 6 months, we begin to thank him in the midst of that change. We begin to adapt a lifestyle of thanksgiving. In Nehemiah 12, verse 8, we read that the Levites were Jeshua, Binui, Kadmiel, Serebiah, Judah, and Mattaniah, who was in charge of the songs of thanksgiving, he and his brothers. See, this is a picture of what we should do when we come together as the assembled congregation before the Lord. We have someone who's in charge of the songs. But we always listen for the song of the Lord. We always listen for what is that new stream that he wants us to get in. Why? Because new songs break your old cycles. Begin singing your praises over him. Try singing your prayers in your private time. He doesn't care if you're an opera singer or you're a bullfrog. He's looking to see whether you've got a heart of thanksgiving. See, when we come together, we can either gain something from the Lord or we can just feel good and groove to the music and go home. I don't know about you, but I come to be equipped so that the next week when we're out in the world, something can flow through me to touch those around me. Something should be coming to you from the Lord as you worship him so that it can flow out of you until the next time you worship him. See, he lavishes presence upon those who honor him at his word. We see in Psalm 100 that is entitled A Psalm for Thanksgiving. Verse 1, shout joyfully to the Lord all the earth. Are we having a problem back there, kids? Oh. Verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Verse 3, know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Verse 4 is where we need to pay attention. Enter his gates, grumbling and complaining. Well, that's the modern church version, isn't it? Isn't that what the world wants you to do? Join with the nightly news and grumble and complain? Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. What an attitude changer. Verse 5, for the Lord is good, his loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. See, giving thanks is a prerequisite for working miracles. We all hear about these things that are happening. Oh, I want to be one that the Lord will use like that. He will use anyone who has an attitude of gratitude. He will use anyone to do signs, wonders, and miracles, and he wants to use all of us if only we will give thanks to him. See, if I don't have an attitude of gratitude, all of a sudden I'm going to have an idol in my heart. Well, look at that. I just got 17 people healed from that tropical disease. I just set myself up. Every one of us, through thanksgiving, should have Holy Spirit moving through us to do great exploits in the name of the Lord. The only miracle of Jesus that is mentioned in all four Gospels is the feeding of the 5,000. In Matthew 15:36, we see the first use of the Greek word that's translated as giving thanks in the New Testament. First time thanks is mentioned. In Matthew 15:36, it says, and he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and giving thanks, this is Jesus, what did he do? He gave thanks for the little bit Father put in his hands. He broke them and started giving them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. The Greek word that the Holy Spirit used here in Jesus giving thanks, and a total of 36 times in the New Testament, is Eucharisto. Does it sound familiar? It means to be grateful, that is, actually to express gratitude towards and to specifically say grace at a meal or to give thanks. Another word from the same Greek root word is used to encourage us to give thanks to the Lord always. And this is in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. It says, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even our Father. This word is Eucharista. It means gratitude, actually grateful language to God as an act of worship, thankfulness, and giving thanks. It's from this Greek word that we get our English word for the communion meal, Eucharist. What we are going to partake in tonight is a thank offering to God in remembering and giving thanks for the one who set us free. See, all through Scripture, Father was preparing us to remember him with thanksgiving, to live a lifestyle of thanksgiving. That doesn't mean that we always have to have the bread and the cup, but he always wants us to be thankful no matter where we are. A lifestyle of thanksgiving is essential for experiencing the fullness of joy and the pleasures that come from abiding in the presence of the Lord. We see this in Psalm 16, verse 11, which reads, you will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is the fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever. Let's look again at Psalm 100, verses 4 and 5. It says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good, and his loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. See, thanksgiving is the point of entry into the Lord's presence. If I don't have a thankful heart, I will not taste his presence. I will not smell his presence. I will not see his presence, hear his presence, or feel his presence. It takes an attitude of gratitude to come into his presence. Thanksgiving is the key that opens the gates. Are there gates and doors that are closed to you, that you know you have to go through in order to get to the place that he has prophesied over you, or that he has written about you in his book in heaven, that he has said, this is your destiny? Well, if God wants to do it, he's going to do it. John Wayne and all his guns can't get it done. If I don't give thanks, that gate is not going to open. Do you remember when Peter was thrown into jail? Do you remember when Paul was thrown into jail? And they grumbled and complained and sat there and said, oh, woe is me. No, they began to give thanks and praise unto the Lord. And what happened? Angels showed up. Angels took the chains off of Peter, who was chained to four guards. The guards never woke up. Peter thought he was in a dream, remember? And then the first gate opened and he went out. And then the prison gate opened and he went out. And no one in the house who was praying for him to be released believed that he could do it. But Peter was giving thanks and he got set free. Those are literal locks that opened. But God, he can do the same thing for every one of us. See, you can have every gift and talent, every resource, every skill. You can be doing good works, but without a grateful heart, you won't get into the presence of the Lord. The Pharisees had all that, and they failed to recognize the presence of the Most High God walking in their midst. They missed the time of their visitation. See, if you do not deal with the thanksgiving issues of your heart, everything else does not matter. I can have a new bank account. It's not going to matter. I can have a new job and a new title. It's not going to matter. What matters is whether or not my heart is thankful before the Lord. We see in Psalm 100 that there is first an acknowledgement that God made us. We did not create ourselves. Just like thanksgiving is the key to entering the Lord's presence, the fear of the Lord, which means that we rightly reverence him, that's the fear of the Lord, is the key for our accessing wisdom. Arrogance will block us from receiving wisdom. Well, I don't have to thank God. He said he'd do it. Boy, if our kids said that to us, what would we do? Daddy loves us so much. He extends mercy, but he wants us to be thankful for the mercy. See, an ungrateful heart will deflect his presence and his peace from us, just like arrogance would deflect wisdom from us. And we all need wisdom. If we want to overcome the battles that are before us, we need his wisdom. If we want to walk in peace, we need his presence. So we need to have an attitude of gratitude. A lifestyle of thanksgiving will bring the manifest presence of God into your life and will release the will of God for your life. Do you believe that? Do you believe the Word of God? We started with, and we're going to end with, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ Jesus?
Yes.
Let's stand up and give him thanks. We're going to worship into his presence tonight. We're going to end with worship. As we end with worship, in case I forget to say something, when you go into fellowship, please leave the Christmas decorations alone. Tomorrow after service, there's going to be a decoration party, and they're all piled up in that corner. So, Lord, we thank you that you've made us in your image and likeness. Lord, we thank you that you've made us to be the head and not the tail. Lord, we thank you that you've made us to be more than conquerors. Lord, we thank you that you've made us to be overcomers. Lord, we thank you that you sent your Son so that all of the issues of life can be put under our feet by the power of his blood. Lord, we thank you that you have asked us to be men and women of thanksgiving. Lord, we thank you that you have asked us to lift our hands to you in worship, to extend our hand in praise. Lord, we thank you that you have asked us to live a lifestyle of thanksgiving so that those around us will even become hungry for what it is that we have, your presence. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come and inhabit our praise. We invite you to take us into the river over our heads so that we have to surrender to you and give you thanks for what you are doing. Come have your way with us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thanks.